Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine two identical websites. Same great content, same amount of traffic, even the same audience. But here's the mystery. One is generating substantially more income than the other.
Right.
The surprising secret, it really all comes down to ad placement.
It often does, yeah.
Strategically positioning your advertisements isn't just, you know, filling space, it's vital. It can significantly enhance your return on investment, your ROI, and really drive user engagement.
Uh-huh.
So our mission today is to explore exactly how you can optimize your ad placements for maximum ROI, turning that mystery into a clear path for you.
And what's really fascinating here, I think, is that it's about more than just where an ad sits on the page.
Right.
It's about blending ads harmoniously with your content, making sure they capture attention, yes, but without compromising the overall user experience.
So it's a balancing act.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This deep dive isn't just about giving you a checklist like do this, do that.
Oh.
It's about helping you understand why certain strategies work, giving you a comprehensive guide to boosting your advertising potential.
Mm-hmm. Great. So let's start at the very foundation then. Why is strategic ad placement just so crucial?
Well,
our sources really hammer home that users aren't just scanning a page randomly. Their eyes are naturally drawn to specific areas.
That's absolutely right. Think about it yourself.
Yeah. When you land on a web page, where do your eyes go first? Research consistently shows that ads positioned above the fold, mm-hmm. that part of the page you see without scrolling,
right.
they receive significantly higher engagement. Some eye-tracking studies even suggest users spend, what, up to 80% of their attention there?
Yeah, it's a huge percentage. It's all about that immediate visibility. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the nature of your content actually dictates the most effective ad positions.
Okay, how so?
Well, for example, for really deeply engaging articles, maybe placing ads at key transition points makes sense.
Like between sections.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or perhaps just before a major subheading, or maybe after a compelling anecdote. It can be incredibly effective.
Why there specifically?
Because you've already captured their attention, yeah. right? Their focus is high at that moment. This also ties into contextual relevance. Ads that genuinely align with the content users are currently consuming will just inherently perform better.
Because they feel relevant, not random.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It taps into a psychological principle called priming. Users are already in a certain mindset, so they're more receptive to related information. It's about being, you know, genuinely helpful, not just intrusive.
That makes perfect sense. Like, you're already thinking about travel, so an ad for a cool destination feels like a useful suggestion, not a jarring interruption.
Exactly.
Speaking of different ways to place ads, what are some of the diverse ad placement types you're seeing work well? Beyond just the, you know, the traditional banner at the top.
Yeah, that's a great question. Because while banner ads do capture that immediate attention, they've also kind of given rise to this phenomenon called banner blindness.
Mm-hmm.
Users just unconsciously disregard them sometimes.
Right, they just filter it out.
They do. That's why alternatives are so important. In-content ads, for instance.
Okay.
They're designed to seamlessly integrate with the surrounding content. They feel less intrusive. And often, they yield significantly better performance.
So they almost look like part of the article itself.
Pretty much, yeah. Think of them as native to the page, almost part of the narrative.
Interesting.
What else? Then you have sidebars. Good for supplementary information, but here's the crucial caveat.
Uh-oh.
They must be designed effectively. You don't want them distracting from the main content. That's key.
Right. Keep the focus.
And of course, there are pop-ups and interstitials. Now, they can be used strategically.
Can they? They often feel annoying.
They often are annoying.
Yeah.
But they can work, particularly if they offer tangible, immediate value, like a discount code or a free trial sign-up.
Okay, so there has to be a clear benefit for the user.
Absolutely. But a strong word of caution.
Yeah.
Use them sparingly. If they're not implemented carefully, they can create a major friction point. Studies show high bounce rates if users don't see them as valuable.
Makes sense.
So the key, really, for all these types is to conduct A/B testing across different placements.
Testing again?
Always testing. It's really the only way to truly figure out which formats resonate most with your specific audience. Not just audiences in general, but yours.
That brings us perfectly to measuring success then and analyzing that ad placement performance.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've got these different types of ads out there, how do you actually know what's working and what's not? For those two identical websites we started with.
Yeah, well, it's all about employing robust analytics tools.
Yeah.
You need to evaluate key metrics like click-through rates or CTR,
ATR, right?
Conversion rates, and other key performance indicators, KPIs.
Okay.
But a really insightful method mentioned in our sources is using heat maps.
Heat maps. Tell me more.
Imagine like a visual overlay on your website. It shows you exactly where users click, where their mouse hovers, even how far down they scroll.
Oh, wow. Like infrared for clicks.
Kind of, yeah. Heat maps can pinpoint optimal ad placements with uncanny accuracy sometimes. And this data, this visual data, should directly inform your decisions. Should you keep an ad, tweak its position, or maybe just remove it altogether?
So it takes the guesswork out.
Completely. Regular analysis is, well, it's non-negotiable, really, for data-driven decisions and continuous optimization in today's, you know, fast-paced digital world. You need to know what's actually happening.
Knowing where people click is one thing, but knowing who is clicking is another entirely, right?
Absolutely fundamental.
Let's talk about the who accurately defining and targeting your audience. So what does this all mean for those two websites? How do they figure out who they're talking to?
It means gathering solid data on user behavior, preferences, demographics.
The usual suspects.
Right. And then you segment them by interests, location, age, you name it. And the magic happens when you craft detailed personas. These kind of encapsulate essential characteristics, motivations, maybe even pain points of your ideal audience segments.
Personas, okay.
Leveraging user data goes deep. It includes behavioral insights like past interactions, purchase history, browsing patterns.
So what they've done before.
Exactly. For instance, if your data shows a segment frequently engages with content about, say, sustainable living,
right,
you'd then place ads for eco-friendly products within those specific articles. It just makes sense.
Targeted relevance.
Mm-hmm. This also ties into retargeting strategies. Gently reminding users of products or services they previously looked at.
Ah, the ads that follow you around.
Those are the ones. But the essential balance here, and it's crucial, is between personalization and user privacy.
Very important.
Transparency about how you collect and use data isn't just ethical. It actually fosters trust. People appreciate knowing.
True.
And remember, effective segmentation, demographic, geographic, psychographic is really key to refining your targeting and creating those truly tailored ad placements that feel helpful, not creepy.
Okay, so we know who we're talking to. We know where they click.
Mm-hmm.
Let's circle back to maximizing visibility and enhancing that user experience. You mentioned above the fold, real estate is gold. Are there other strategic positioning insights for getting maximum visibility?
Absolutely. Users are, as we said, inherently more inclined to engage with ads thoughtfully placed right at the top or embedded within the content, especially above the fold.
Uh-huh.
In-content ads, as we discussed, are fantastic. They're less intrusive, but still highly visible. But here's where it gets nuanced. Finding the right balance of ad density.
Ad density. So how many ads on a page?
Exactly. Our sources suggest an ideal of approximately 20% ad space compared to content space. It's a guideline, of course.
20%. That sounds quite precise. Isn't there like a tipping point where too many ads really backfire? Or maybe could fewer ads actually lead to more revenue sometimes?
That's a critical question. And yes, definitely. Too many ads lead to a negative user experience. Full stop. It can make visitors disengage or just abandon your site completely. Bounce rate goes up.
Yeah, I've done that.
We all have.
Ugh.
And paradoxically, sometimes fewer, but better placed ads can actually increase total revenue.
How does that work?
By improving user retention and content consumption. A less cluttered page often leads to more satisfied visitors. They spend more time, they might come back more often.
Interesting trade-off.
It is. And this raises another important question. How do we make sure ads look good and, crucially, function well on any device? Phone, tablet, desktop.
Ah, responsive design.
Responsive design is absolutely essential, non-negotiable. There was a Google study indicating over 50% of mobile users just abandon sites that fail to load quickly or display poorly.
50%? That's huge.
Massive. We also need to minimize ad intrusion. Think about formats like native ads, which blend seamlessly, or timing ads during natural pauses, end of an article, end of a video segment.
Be smart about when they appear.
Exactly. And improve load times. Optimize image file sizes, use compressed formats like WebP, limit heavy graphics, implement lazy loading so ads only load when they're about to be seen.
Technical stuff, but important.
Very. And critically, incorporate user feedback. Use surveys, look at comments, ask people. It's vital for enhancing your ad strategies and making it a positive experience for your audience.
That's an excellent point about making sure the ads don't just exist, but actually contribute to a good experience, or at least don't ruin it.
Right.
Let's shift to the creative side now. leveraging diverse ad formats and creative design.
Okay.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Many people just assume video ads are always better. What does the research actually say? Are they the silver bullet marketers sometimes think?
Not always a silver bullet, no. Right. But they are incredibly effective in many cases. Video ads generally capture attention more effectively than static images.
Okay.
Especially on platforms where users are already used to dynamic content like social media. However, it's really about matching the ad format to the content. Context.
Context again.
Always context. For example, a travel blog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Visually appealing video ads showcasing destinations would probably work great.
Excess.
But technical content, maybe well-designed infographics or interactive data visualizations would perform better there.
Right tool for the right job.
Exactly. And when it comes to the creative design elements themselves, focus on high-quality graphics, compelling copy, the words matter, and strong calls to action. Tell people what you want them to do.
Be clear.
Very clear. Storytelling techniques can also establish an emotional connection. And incorporating user-generated content or testimonials, that adds authenticity. People trust other people.
Social proof.
Mm-hmm. And crucially, to avoid ad fatigue.
Where you see the same ad over and over.
Or just tune it out, yeah.
Yeah.
You need to regularly review and innovate your ad designs. Keep things fresh.
So refresh the creative.
Constantly. And continuously test different ad formats for better performance. Use A-B testing, measure those KPIs like CTR and conversion rates. It's an ongoing cycle.
Speaking of A-B testing, walk us through how someone might actually set one up properly for ad placement success. What are the key steps to make sure you're getting valid results?
Okay, first, you need clear objectives. What are you actually trying to achieve with this test? Increase CTR. Boost engagement. Drive more conversions. Be specific.
Know your goal.
Know your goal. Then select a specific, isolated variable to test.
Just one thing.
Just one thing at a time. Are you changing the ad format? Or the placement position? Or maybe just the call to action language. Don't try to change everything at once, or you won't know what caused the difference.
Right. It muddies the waters.
Exactly. It's like the scientific experiment. Isolate your variable. Also, make sure you use a significant sample size. Enough people need to see each version, and run your tests for a sufficient duration to account for traffic fluctuations, weekends versus weekdays, that kind of thing.
Give it enough time.
Right. Then, when interpreting the results, look beyond just the surface-level metrics like clicks. Delve into user behavior, look at conversion rates further down the funnel, and use statistical significance testing. This helps you confirm that the difference you're seeing isn't just random chance.
So you know it's real.
So you know it's real, yeah. Mm. It helps avoid making costly decisions based on mere coincidence. Ensures your optimizations are truly effective. The overall goal here is to adopt a culture of continuous testing and optimization. The digital landscape is always changing, so you need to stay proactive.
That's incredibly helpful. It sounds like it's easy to jump to conclusions without that rigorous, data-driven approach.
Very easy.
Which leads us perfectly to another critical area, utilizing advanced analytics tools.
Mm.
What should listeners be looking for in a tool to help them make these kinds of complex decisions about ad performance?
Yeah, good question. You're looking for tools like, say, Google Analytics or maybe Adobe Analytics, platforms that provide really comprehensive data.
What kind of data?
Data on ad performance, user interactions, those CTRs we mentioned.
Yeah.
Conversion paths, how people get from seeing an ad to actually converting. Look for ease of use. You have to be able to understand it. Strong integration capabilities with other platforms you use. Customizable dashboards are great so you can see the metrics you care about most right up front.
Tailor it to your needs.
Exactly. And ideally, real-time data feeds so you can react quickly. Interpreting this data is obviously key. Get familiar with those ad engagement KPIs and break down the data by segments for deeper insights.
Segments again.
Always segments. For example, if you find that a specific demographic, maybe younger women, consistently prefers a certain ad format or placement, well, you tailor your future strategies accordingly for that group. Customizing your analytics reports to highlight the key metrics specifically for ad placement ROI is also essential. Present the data clearly, maybe using visual graphs or comparative analyses that make the insights immediately obvious. Don't just drown in numbers.
Make it digestible.
Exactly.
Okay, finally, let's talk money. Strategizing your budgeting and bidding approaches.
Right.
So what is all this optimization, the placement, the audience, the testing? What does it mean for your actual ad budget? How does one of those identical websites allocate their funds for maximum returns?
It means strategically allocating your ad budget based on that historical performance data you've gathered.
Put money where it works.
Pretty much. You want to invest more heavily in those high-performing areas and placements you've identified through your analytics and your A/B tests. Makes sense?
Common sense, hopefully.
Hopefully. It's also wise to employ a flexible budgeting strategy, one that allows for real-time adjustments based on performance. Don't just set it and forget it for the whole quarter.
Be agile.
Be agile, yes. You also need to understand the different bidding systems available. Cost per click, CPC, that's generally best for driving traffic.
Okay.
Cost per impression, CPM, that's more geared towards brand visibility, getting eyes on the brand.
Getting seen.
Mm-hmm. And cost per acquisition, CPA, focuses directly on conversions, getting that sale or lead. You need to ensure your chosen bidding system aligns with your specific campaign objectives. What are you trying to do?
Align strategy and objective.
Always. And this raises an important question. How do we actually optimize those bids for enhanced ROI?
Yeah.
Well, you analyze the performance data again. Increase bids in those high-performing segments or placements. Huh? Consider using automated bidding strategies. Let the platform's AI help manage bids based on your goals.
Let the machine help.
Sometimes, yes. And use bid modifiers. For example, you might bid higher for mobile users if your data shows they convert at a higher rate on phones.
Target the high-value interactions.
Precisely. And the overarching theme here, again, is continuous monitoring and adjusting. Bids, budgets, placements, it's an ongoing process. Definitely not a set-it-and-forget-it task if you want maximum ROI.
Wow. Okay. We have certainly covered a lot today.
We have.
From the absolute crucial role of strategic positioning and really understanding audience psychology, to leveraging powerful data from analytics and heat maps, prioritizing the user experience above all else, and embracing that continuous optimization through A/B testing and smart budgeting.
They'll connect.
It really does. It's clear that optimizing ad placements is, well, it's a multifaceted process, isn't it? But one with huge tangible potential for enhancing your ROI could really transform even an identical website into a, you know, a revenue powerhouse.
Absolutely. It's where the smart money is often made online. And maybe a final thought for you to consider. As you think about how rapidly user preferences and digital technologies evolve.
Yeah, they change so fast.
They really do. Which single aspect of ad placement optimization that we discussed today, maybe it's user feedback, maybe responsive design, maybe those advanced analytics, which one do you believe will be the most critical for maintaining a competitive edge in the coming year?
That is a truly thought-provoking question, something for all of us to mull over. We encourage you, the listener, to reflect on that and continue your own exploration into these dynamic concepts.